Drift is brought to you by Sierra Sil Joint Formula 14. Be sure to use the code DRIFT for 14% off the all-natural Canadian formula that you need for joint pain, especially your knees. They even offer a money-back guarantee. Learn more in the morning. Go to SierraSil.com. That's Sierra, like the mountains, and Sil, like silicon. Read stories from people just like you and like Drift that have happy endings. Hello, I'm Erin, and welcome to Drift. I'm pleased to share with you here over 100 stories, gently told, with happy endings, well, as happy as we can make them, and then beautiful, easy waves to help you drift off to sleep. Thank you for joining our gentle sleep community as we spend this time together. Now this story, Drifting Upwards, is written by Diane Allengame, a Drift listener who has contributed in the past with Adrift on a Lazy River. I'm so happy to feature another of her stories, and we'll get to it right after I remind you that Drift is made free to you with no more commercial messages, thanks to Envy Pillow, a beautiful, ergonomically designed pillow with copper infusion to protect your skin and a special shape to help your neck, your face, and your sleep. Canadian made by Kim and Kathy, they stand behind every pillow, and you can trust them and me for a good night's rest or your money back. Go to envypillow.com and use the code DRIFT for 10% off. That's envypillow.com and sleep with the best. Let's take a few moments to relax and get you in the right spot in bed or your chair or couch, wherever it is that you are, and we're sharing these moments together. And thank you for that. Find that perfect place where you're cozy and safe, warm and comfortable. Get your pillow into just the right spot. And as you do, allow your head to sink into it. Relax your neck and shoulders, and let your arms and legs feel heavy, your hips releasing their steady, sturdy hold. If you're able, go right down and wiggle your toes and tell those piggies goodnight. Then let your eyes close tight. Relax your jaw. And now a few deep breaths, taking in a cleansing one on the inhale. And as you exhale, release all of the cares of the day. One more in. And this time, as you breathe out, think these words: I am safe. I am loved. I am at peace. Let us wish the world peace. And if you're ready, let's drift. Bob and Christie's kids thought it was a great idea. Their grandchildren thought it was an even better idea and begged to go along. But as Christie watched the giant hot air balloon fill with air and rise into the beautiful late August sky, she wasn't sure it was a good idea at all. She, who was a nervous flyer and didn't climb ladders, was about to go up in something that looked like an oversized cat basket powered by an elevated barbecue and a zillion yards of thin fabric. She thrust her hands nervously into the pockets of her hoodie. She glanced at her husband, who was his usual enthusiastic self, chasing grandchildren and watching the balloon take shape. He didn't seem fussed by the prospect of floating off into who knows what. In fact, when their three children presented the ride as a 40th wedding anniversary gift, he had hollered with delight. "We've asked the balloonist to take you over the farm," said Christie's daughter, Lisa. "If the winds allow, that is." Christie nodded. It'd be fun to see familiar places from the sky. A lot of living had taken place in the 40 years they'd been together, and most of it in this area they still called home. The propane burner continued to heat the air, and the balloon took on the shape of an inverted teardrop. Graduated royal blue and sunflower yellow stripes swirled around and up as the balloon grew taller. The balloonist's name was Brenda, and she had a ground crew helping her. They held a drop line, preventing the balloon from escaping, as she motioned for the couple to draw close. "Time to go, folks. There isn't a lot of wind today, but enough for us to actually get somewhere." Looking at Christy's serious face, she added, "Don't worry. It'll be a slow and gentle tour." The cat basket was not easy to get into, but Bob's strong arms gave her a boost. The rattan sides came up to her midriff, and that helped her feel secure. The ground crew let go of the drop line to the cheers of the family, and they began to rise. "Balloon rising! Happy anniversary!" shouted Brenda over the roar of the burner. Christy turned slightly to look at Bob. The late day light softened his character lines, and his summer tan made him look younger than his newly minted status as a senior citizen. They were both from this area and had dated in high school a million or so years ago. He'd been a gregarious football player. She, the quiet yearbook editor. Bob always saw her as his beautiful sweetheart, something she was grateful for. To her, the mirror now reflected the face of a senior, a junior senior, to be sure, but not the young woman who had shyly said yes when he asked her to a local dance. Christy felt she was accepting of those physical changes, but wished she could tell her 18-year-old self not to worry about losing weight or finding the perfect lip gloss. The balloon began to drift lazily to the southwest. Looking up past the blast valve, the yellow and blue swirls of fabric were glowing in the sunlight. Down below, people had become quite small. Christy felt a touch of vertigo. Bob seemed to sense her discomfort and wrapped his arm around her waist. "Here we go, kiddo," he said, with a gentle squeeze. "Off on a big adventure, just like 40 years ago today." They'd been married in the 1980s. Bob and the groomsmen wore chocolate brown tuxes. Bob's sported a ruffled shirt. Wrapped in white organza from neck to toe, Christy was every inch a demure bride. Her attendants wore identical floor-length lilac dresses, and they carried baskets of deep purple silk flowers. "And the flowers will last forever," her mother had said happily, although Christy was pretty sure no one would want anything in that particular color to last forever. Instead of a veil, Christy wore a large-brimmed white hat wrapped in netting adorned with white silk roses. "Your daughter will want to wear that one day," her mom had said confidently. The service had been followed by a noisy tour of the village in Bob's truck, hastily decorated with tin cans and streamers by his friends that morning. Other cars followed, horns blaring, and many locals came out to wave at them. This was a small town, after all, and weddings were a cause for celebration, even for the uninvited. The reception was ably catered by local women who were used to whipping up a turkey dinner for 100 people without breaking a sweat. Brenda tended to the burner, and they rose to 1,000 feet. The slanting sun picked out the patchwork fields below. Darker hedgerows of trees delineated farms in an area still, for the most part, agricultural. "There's the farm," Bob pointed excitedly, as a red and yellow brick Victorian farmhouse came into view. Christy was instantly transported back to her time as a new bride in the old house, vacated by Bob's folks. How she tried to modernize the time-worn kitchen without spending money, making her first moderately successful roast beef dinner, followed by her first highly successful apple pie. The balloon was hardly moving now, giving them time to gaze down. It was so interesting to see the land they knew so well from this new perspective. Bob remembered the uncountable hours he spent working the land, plowing, seeding, harvesting, first on the ancient Alice Chalmers tractor, then the new to him, Massey Ferguson, in the 1990s. Now, when he helped his son-in-law, the equipment was air-conditioned and guided by GPS. The speed of change was dizzying. The old farm had been sold a decade or so ago, when Bob and Christy moved into town. The new owner ran a massive dairy operation on a neighboring farm and rented out the farmhouse. Right below them, the full tassels on the corn glinted gold in the sun and spoke of the abundant crop that would feed the cattle all winter. Christy remembered the small dairy herd they inherited from Bob's parents. She gave most of the cows names and always had a soft word and a pat as she helped with the chores. Bob said her good nature was sometimes going to hurt her, as there were often difficult decisions to make when a cow got old or a calf failed to thrive. Christy recalled that first winter with the ancient furnace, the thick frost on the windows, and how they often went to bed early just to stay warm. Those nights of togetherness led to a pregnancy earlier than they had planned, but not unwelcome. With the naivete of youth, they shared the good news immediately. Her early miscarriage was the first difficult life event they had to face. She no longer dwelt on the loss, but always remembered it when the anniversary rolled around. Bob had tried his best to console her, but only a mother's heart understood the emptiness she felt. Happily, a year later, Stephen was born, followed by Lisa and Darren, and in 5 years their family was complete. The joy of those births and other happy events had made it hard to leave the old place. The lane to the farm stretched out below them, lined with maples. Christy could see her kids trudging up the dusty driveway after school, cold, hungry, and in no particular hurry to do their chores. Bob was also staring at the same lane, but he saw it lined with fire trucks, pickups, cars, and tractors when the century-old barn caught fire. The foundation of the old barn was still visible and caught Christy's attention as well. "Remember the fire?" they asked in unison, laughing at their synchronicity. After 40 years, they often thought the same thing at the same time. What Christy remembered was gathering the children close as the timber structure of the barn glowed incandescent orange in the night sky. And the help. Neighbors from far and wide came to help put out the fire, clean up, and later to help Bob build a replacement barn. Neither of their sons wanted to farm, but Lisa's young son talked of nothing else. Bob hoped that Colton would be able to work the land if he truly wanted to. "That sure was a tough winter," Bob mused, remembering the costs not covered by their insurance. He took a job in town, fitting his farm work into evenings and weekends. He smiled as he remembered Christy's resourcefulness, getting them all through a time of hardship by making do. She never complained, at least not in front of him. Christy remembered that time as well, with feelings of gratitude that the house and livestock had been spared. The balloon wafted westward, passing over a neighboring farm. Below, the sun glinted off a meandering creek. Christy could see her kids shrieking and splashing in the hot summer sun, and remembered picnics on its banks. They might have just had peanut butter sandwiches, but the children always thought it was a grand adventure when the picnic basket and blanket came out. She also remembered, with less nostalgia, the day 7-year-old Darren disappeared, only to turn up an hour or so later with his first catch of brook trout from that stream. Parenting was such a patchwork of experiences and emotions. Someone said the days are long, but the years are short, and boy, was that ever true. Overnight, it seemed, her kids went from needing her constantly to not wanting her attention at all. Why couldn't she remember all the moments of motherhood, like the last time she read the kids a bedtime story, or sat beside the bathtub as someone splashed and played in the bubbles? Best we don't know when our lasts are taking place, she thought, or we'd hold on so hard we'd break something. Our hearts, most likely. The balloon continued its quiet drift. They were too high to hear any noise from the ground, and the silence was only broken occasionally when the burner sent up a dragon-like roar. Unlike a usual sightseeing flight, Brenda had no need to point out local landmarks. This couple was deeply immersed in the land below them. The village in which they now lived moved closer. After the kids went to high school, Christy took a job in the hardware store to help the college fund. The owner of the store was a shameless flirt, and she enjoyed the attention for a day or two. After 15 years of marriage, she and Bob had fallen into a comfortable routine, and there was little time for romance. But soon she felt uneasy, as if listening to this other man was just as disloyal to her husband as a full-blown affair would have been. She quit the following week and found a part-time job in the library. She didn't know if Bob knew why she had changed jobs, and she was never going to tell him. There weren't many secrets in their relationship, but that was one of them. Bob also was lost in his memories of that time. Mostly he remembered the anxiety of parenting teenagers, especially when his daughter began dating. Knowing all the families in the area had not soothed his worry and late-night watchfulness. In the distance, he could see daughter Lisa and David's farm. He smiled, remembering the pair nervously announcing their intentions and asking for his and Christy's blessing. It was freely given, to be sure, but not without the pangs of loss inevitable when families mature, the circle grows wider, and a few steps more distant. Still, he had gained a son-in-law. Someone who looked up to him, asked for his help, and doted on his daughter. Sons Stephen and Darren had looked further afield for their careers and were raising their families an hour or so away. Now, as a grandfather, he worried about what kind of world his grandkids would live in. Bob cleaned his sunglasses to better see the horizon, backlit now by the descending sun. Their small town was well serviced by a nearby larger town, really a small city, containing a great hospital, among other things, which he could see on the skyline. They had been there recently, unbeknownst to most of their friends, to try and sort out a cardiac problem that seemed to come out of left field. Bob was confident he could get it under control. After all, he was a key member of their oldies hockey team and loved his time on the ice during the long winters. He felt fine, Most of the time, many of his friends were starting to slow down, seize up, or suffer from other age-related maladies. He remembered his father, a man of few words most of the time, who did one afternoon admit that aging was sometimes uncomfortable, always disconcerting, and rarely easy. It was, however, the price of being alive, and the benefits of life surrounded by family and friends far outweighed the difficulties. Bob agreed then, and now knew it to be true. Gazing up into the balloon fabric was mesmerizing, but neither of them wanted to miss a moment of the flight, and they kept looking down. From this perspective, it was clear how waterways emerged from wetlands and joined up with other streams to flow into rivers. What impressed Bob was that, other than fence lines, the ground below appeared as one entity. No division that needed air and circulation and water. Had he been as kind as he could have been to the land? He hoped so. "Time to head back to Mother Earth," Brenda announced as she checked her watch and opened a vent at the top of the balloon. This allowed some of the hot air to escape, beginning their gentle descent. This was the part about which Christy had been most apprehensive. Bob sensed her discomfort and pulled her close for a hug. She rested her head on his chest as she had done so many times before. She didn't want to lose a moment of the scenery, but closed her eyes anyway, creating a magic memory of being suspended in time and space, surrounded only by the familiar warmth of her husband. One of the benefits of aging, she supposed, was the realization that time is not infinite. Bob spoke first. "Well, my dear, this has been quite the ride. So happy to be sharing it with my best girl." "We could have made it even more interesting if we didn't have Brenda along with us." Christy swatted his arm with her free hand and laughed. "You never give up, do you?" she asked playfully. "Why would I? You're the reason I'm still going strong." "It hasn't been easy, loving me. I know that. You've been patient and understanding. When things were tough financially, you never doubted me." "Not out loud, anyway." Christy nodded. "And you have always been there for me. I was thinking about what it takes to stay married. Seems to me that saying I do on your wedding day is just the first of 10,000 times you have to say it, or at least think it. It's a decision you must make every day. So many people start strong, but once the pixie dust of romance starts to wear off and the reality of living with someone takes hold, it's not so pretty. People forget to say I do when things get challenging. And pretty soon I do turns into I don't." Bob kissed the top of her head. "And don't we know a few people who've made that discovery? Well, Christy, my dear, I do love you. I do respect our differences. And I do put our togetherness ahead of other things. Even when you said no to my first antique truck." "Yes, but by waiting, you got something even better." They chuckled and turned to look downwards again. Their family had followed the progress of the balloon by piling into a couple of 4x4s and following Brenda's chase vehicle on the back roads. Now they jumped out and stood on the edge of the field, watching the balloon descend while keeping an eye on the gaggle of excited children and dogs. "This is great," said Brenda. "Looks like we're going to land on a pasture, not on someone's crop. Hot air balloons tend to land where they want, and sometimes there's a bit of damage. If the owners come out, we'll invite them for a glass of champagne. I find that generally soothes any ruffled feathers. Get ready to land. If the basket tips, just climb out carefully, and you won't get hurt. Christy swallowed and nodded. Bob just grinned and waved at the kids, who were now cheering and applauding. The basket dropped in a controlled manner and landed perfectly upright, with just a slight bump, in a meadow of grass and wildflowers. Brenda threw a mooring rope to one of the waiting adults, and Bob heaved himself over the side, then turned to easily lift Christy out. "How was it, Mom?" asked Lisa. She'd been the least enthusiastic of the three kids about the idea, worried about her dad's heart and her mom's anxiety. As brothers sometimes do, they told her she was being ridiculous and that the ride would be one for the memory book, which, of course, it had been. "Oh, Lisa, it was beautiful. What an amazing gift. Time to reflect on our anniversary, this land we love so much, and all our memories." Bob smiled and put one arm around Lisa, the other around Christy. "I just spent an hour with the most beautiful woman in the world, looking at the most beautiful area in the world, and now I'm here with the most beautiful daughter in the world, in my world anyway." Christy felt her eyes begin to water, and she knew her voice would crack if she spoke. She was not accustomed to showing her emotions in public, and turned her face into his chest for a quick hug. As she knew he would, Bob released her to help Brenda and her crew gather up the enormous balloon. As always, Bob was first to help anyone who needed it. Christy's youngest grandson, aged 3, ran to her excitedly. "Wow, Grandma, you went up and up and up." He paused. "You stay down with us now?" Christy ruffled his hair and surveyed the busy scene. "Yep, Colton, I'm staying put with all of you." Later that night, with a couple of glasses of bubbly in her, she lay with Bob's arm around her. As she listened to the gentle sound of crickets through the open bedroom window, Christy remembered the wonderful feeling of floating above the world, above the distractions of day-to-day life, and the clarity that a little distance seemed to bring to all the problems of the day. Memories, old and new, reminders of what is important in life, and the blessing of time set aside to consider them. "Think you'll sleep well tonight?" Bob murmured, already half asleep himself. "Oh, I do," said Christy. "I definitely do." And with that, I wish you a good night as you drift off to sweet dreams.